I would invite you to turn with me this evening, please, to the New Testament. And tonight we're going to read some verses from the book of Romans, chapter 14. Romans is the sixth book of the New Testament. And tonight we're going to read from chapter 14. Romans 14, let's read, please, the Word of God from verse number 7. Verse 7 of Romans 14. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We'll end our reading at verse 17. And we know that the Lord will bless this short and yet very important reading of his word to all of our hearts. I would like to draw your attention to verse number 12. And I want to speak tonight on the subject, the great day of reckoning is coming. The great day of reckoning is coming. Verse number 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let's just bow our heads again and pray that the Word of God will be anointed tonight with the Spirit of the Lord. Pray that the Spirit of God will come and speak to all of our hearts. Let's just pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We come, O God, to thee just now by faith, recognizing, O God, that one day, very soon, we will all stand before God, and as thy word says, we will give an account. O Father God, I pray that we will all be ready, that our consciences, O God, will be clean, that, Lord, we will be able to stand before thee with confidence, knowing that we're saved and knowing that we have served thee well. Grant, O God, that even tonight in this meeting, that we might get right with God, that, Lord, thy people, those that are saved, will set themselves, O God, to serve thee with all of our heart. Those that are backslidden, O God, might come back to their first love. And those that are not saved might be converted, might come to Christ in faith and in true repentance. Lord, we need thee. I thank thee, O God, that thy word tells us that there is an anointing that breaks the yoke. And I ask, O God, that for thine honor and for thy glory alone, that thou wilt anoint me this evening. Hide me behind the cross. Grant that Jesus Christ will be glorified, that my name would be forgotten. And Lord, tonight we pray that thou wilt do a work. May this last Lord's Day of 2009 be the best Lord's Day of the year. And may we experience the presence of God in a way that we've maybe never experienced before. Glorify thy Son, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. As 2009 very quickly draws to a close, I wonder tonight, in reality, if we're absolutely honest, what sort of year we've really had. If I was to ask every single one of you this evening, what sort of year have you had? I wonder what sort of account you would give of the year that is just about to go into eternity. I wonder for you, has it been a year that you would describe as being happy? A year that you would describe as being blessed? A year that you would describe as being easy? Or maybe on the other hand, a year that you would describe as being hard? A year that was difficult? Maybe, in all honesty, a year for you that was, generally speaking, disappointing? And maybe as we examine our own hearts, and not just the year that has gone by, but take account of our own lives, I wonder how we have all lived in 2009. I wonder, has 2009 been a year that has been well spent? Maybe in 2009, on the 1st of January, you began the year with all the best intentions in the world that you would serve God well, that you wouldn't have any regrets, that you would give the Lord your life, and you began 2009 well, but maybe tonight, as the year is drawn to a close, you have to, in a sense, hang your head and say, well, there's been many days, many hours, many weeks, perhaps even many months that I've wasted and could have done more for God. Maybe there are others that began 2009 outside of Christ, cold at heart, and yet during the course of the last 12 months, somewhere along the line, you've experienced the joy of sins forgiven, and you've become a new creature in Christ. And you can say, well, yes, preacher, I didn't begin the year all that well, but I praise God that I can end 2009 on a high, knowing that my sins are forgiven and that my sins have been dealt with. I wonder if I was to ask another question, how you would feel if tonight you were called to the front of this church to give an account of every day spent on God's earth during the last 12 months. I wonder, would you be happy about that? Or would you be ashamed? Or would you have to say, well, I suppose I whittled the year away and it didn't really count for much. And I suppose, if I'm honest, I wouldn't like to have to give an account for the last 365 days, for the last 52 weeks, for the last 12 months, for the last year. But, brethren, tonight, the reality is that all of us one day will give an account of 2009, not at the front of a church like this, but at the very throne of God. And not only will we give an account of 2009, but an account of 2008, 2007, 2006, every year, right back to the year of your birth. For me, it'll be right back to 1978, 31 years to give an account of. Because the Bible makes it abundantly clear that we will all give an account of our lives before God. The Bible tells us in many, many different times and in many different ways that God Himself has appointed a day in which every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every young person, every teenager, every old person, regardless of their background, regardless of their country of origin, regardless of their religion, regardless of their thinking, regardless of their financial estate, regardless if they're a Christian or a non-Christian, the Bible makes it clear in Acts 17:31 that God hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 speaks about the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. John 5:28, marvel not, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice. It is settled in eternity from eternity, God has appointed a day in the which every single man and every single woman who has lived on God's earth from the gates of Eden till the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, every single one of us, according to the Apostle Paul, in Romans 14 verse 12, every one of us shall give an account of himself before God, an account of himself to God. You see, this verse makes it very clear that the great day of reckoning is coming. That great day is coming whenever every single one of us will march before the throne of God, single file, and will stand there and we will give an account of every word, every thought, every deed, every hour, every day. And dear friends, tonight, that's why it's so important to get right with God, because the great day of reckoning is coming. As it says in verse 10, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I just want to say a few things tonight about this great day of reckoning. And you'll just notice them all from verse number 12. You'll notice, first of all, that the great day of reckoning will be universal. It says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. It's something that the Bible describes as being universal. The Bible is abundantly clear. For example, in Matthew 25, verse 32, Jesus Christ said, all nations shall be gathered together before the throne of God. All nations shall be gathered together before the throne of God. Nations that would describe themselves as being Christian nations, if there is such a thing. Sometimes I very much doubt it, but if there is such a thing, well, those Christian nations will be gathered together before the throne of God. England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, the United States of America, Australia, New Zealand, the Netherlands, and different places that have experienced to a large degree or other the preaching of the gospel, all those nations gathered together before the throne of God. Not only that, but all Islamic nations shall be gathered together before the throne of God. Those nations that deny the deity of Jesus Christ, those nations that ban the preaching of the gospel, those nations that said that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet and Jesus Christ was just a lesser prophet, will all those nations one day will be gathered together at the throne of God. All the Hindu nations, all the Islamic nations, all the Christian nations, all the nations that would be communist in their philosophy and in their thinking, that would even deny that there is a God and would suppress any sort of idea of God in the mind at all, well, such nations will be brought together again at the judgment bar of God. All nations shall be gathered together before him. As we have said, Acts 17, 31, he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness at his appearing. All nations gather together, nations that are rich, nations that are poor, nations that are religious, nations that are irreligious. You see, it tells us here, Romans 14, 10, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 reiterates that again. Every one of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11, John says, and behold, I saw a great white throne. And then in verse number 12, he says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And so the day of reckoning will be universal. We live in a day where there are many people that beat their chest and say, well, I will live as I please. I will be accountable to no one. I will not be accountable to my parents. I will not be accountable to the state. I will not be accountable to the church. And I certainly will not be accountable to the God of the Bible. But dear friends, the reality is you will be. You will be. People that say they are accountable to no one might think that, but the reality is that they are accountable they are accountable to God Almighty. This arrogant world of ours is under judgment. And this arrogant nation of ours that we sometimes call Great Britain, and there's maybe not much great about it, the thing that made Britain great was the open Bible. And this arrogant nation of ours is heading for judgment, and one day will stand before the judgment seat of God's eternal justice. You think about the injustice that there is in the world tonight. People lament it all the time. Say, I can't believe if there's a God in heaven that is supposedly a God of love that he could allow so much suffering. Look at the murder that there is in the world. Look at the greed that there is in the world. Look at the rape that there is in the world and the child abuse that there is in the world. And I believe that if we're absolutely honest, that these injustices dictate to us that this world in which we're living deserves to be judged. I think if we were honest, we would all say that. This world in which we're living, it deserves to give an account of itself before a higher authority and before a higher judgment bar. One preacher said this. He said, there are simply too many atrocities in our world for there to be no day of judgment. There are simply too many atrocities in our world for there to be no day of judgment. The reality is that God's judgment has already, to a lesser degree, been demonstrated upon this earth. You think about the flood in Noah's day. God judged the earth by sending a flood. You think about the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah. God judged those cities by sending fire and brimstone from heaven. God has judged this world in time and in different ways. And perhaps even the last year, there are things that have happened that could be described as God's judgment. Some people ask the question, well, do you believe the economic climate is the judgment of God? Do you believe the climate in the world at large is the judgment of God, and famines and earthquakes and different things? Do you believe that these things are the judgment of God? Well, one day we will find that out. But I will say this, that God does, in a sense, send judgment in time to remind us that there is a greater day of judgment that still lies ahead of us. And friends, the reality is that both saved and unsaved will give an account of themselves before God. If you read in Matthew chapter 25, it says in verse number 32, before him shall be gathered all nations. And then it says in verse 33, he shall set the sheep on his right-hand side, but the goats he shall set on his left-hand side. And so the saved will be judged, and the unsaved will be judged as well. And nobody will escape this great day of reckoning, because the Bible makes it clear every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. The great day of reckoning is universal. But the great day of reckoning, being universal, is also unavoidable. You look again at Romans chapter 14. And it says in verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Then verse number 11, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Then verse number 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And these words that come up in each verse, the word shall or the word will, indicate that the great day of reckoning is unavoidable. Nobody will be able to run. Nobody will be able to hide. Nobody will be able to skip bail on God's great day of reckoning. The great reformer John Calvin said concerning God's judgment, he says, we often escape from men, but none of us will ever escape the judgment of God. And how true that is. There are people that are walking our streets freely tonight that have committed crimes that are heinous. Nobody has ever found them out. And they feel that they've got away from the punishment that was their due reward, whether languishing in a prison cell, whether paying a heavy fine, or whether even experiencing a greater degree of punishment. There are many that think, well, I've got away with it. I've covered my tracks well, just like Moses whenever he slew that Egyptian with his bare hands. And he took that Egyptian, and whenever nobody was looking, he buried him in the sand. And yet the very next day, whenever two Hebrew children were at each other's throat and Moses came and tried to break them up, one of the Hebrews says, well, are you going to slay me the way you slew that Egyptian yesterday? And Moses thought that his past was buried in the sand and nobody would know anything about it. And there are many like that in the world tonight. Oh, well, I've covered my tracks well. My parents don't even know the things that I have done. My husband, my wife doesn't even know the things that I have done. And I've covered my tracks well, and my employer doesn't know how I've behaved. The state doesn't know the things that I've done, how I've dodged a tax man or whatever it is. And I've covered my tracks well. And you may have escaped the judgment of men, but Scripture makes it clear you'll not escape the judgment of God. This word shall denotes that the day of judgment and the day of reckoning, the day of accountability are imperative. And you'll not be able to make any plea bargains at the throne of God. You'll not be able to give an account by proxy and send somebody else there on your behalf. This day of reckoning is ultimately unavoidable. In fact, I would even say it's more unavoidable than death itself. Scripture says in Hebrews 9:27, it declares there that it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Oh, you say, well, I'll escape it somehow. Some way I'll be able to wriggle my way out of it. I used to be called at school Roger the Dodger after that little comic strip. Used to get away with all sorts of things, maybe not doing your homework, or maybe handing in somebody else's, or skipping an exam, or doing something. And that's what they used to call me. But I'll tell you, there'll be no dodging God's day of judgment. There'll be no wriggling out of God's day of accountability, because Scripture tells us that the Son of Man shall send his holy angels, and he shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. Did you know that God in heaven has a multitude, an innumerable host of holy angels that are more powerful and greater in strength than man on the earth? And God will just send his angels at the last day. And Jesus Christ himself said those words in Matthew chapter 13, verse 41. The Son of Man, speaking of himself, shall send forth his holy angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. In Matthew 24, verse 31, speaking even of the Christians, he says, he shall send his angels, they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all them that obey not God or obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Revelation 14, verse 19 says that the angel shall thrust his sickle into the earth. It'll be impossible for any person to hide from an omnipresent God. A God that is everywhere present, and a God that is all-knowing, a God that knows exactly where you are, how you've lived, and where you stand with Jesus Christ. This day of judgment is universal. It's unavoidable, and that's why Amos said to the children of the Lord, even in his day, prepare to meet thy God. And that was to the Israelites. That was to the visible church in that day. He says, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And so every single one of us shall give an account of himself before God. The day of reckoning will be universal. The day of reckoning will be unavoidable. But you'll notice something else in Romans chapter 14, verse 12. The day of reckoning will be unique, because it says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. It's a unique thing. It's something that, while it's universal and while it's unavoidable, it's something that in a sense is unique to ourselves, because we will all give an account of ourselves. We'll not give an account of anybody else. I'll not give an account for your life, and you'll not give an account for mine. It's a unique thing. It's an individual thing. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. This is the message of Scripture from the Old Testament, from the books of Moses right through to the book of the Revelation, that every single one of us gives an account of himself. No man liveth unto himself. That's true. We all affect others, but we will give an account of ourselves. Deuteronomy 24, verse 16 says, "The father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the father. But every one shall die for his own sin." The same thing is re-echoed and emphasized again in Jeremiah 31, verse 30. "Every one shall die for his own iniquity." Ezekiel 18, verse 20. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, but the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." And so it's clear, every single one of us shall give an account of himself towards God. God's day of judgment is unique. You know, sometimes we are able to point the finger at others, aren't we? I think the unconverted do this very often and do it very well. And they often say, as they have said to me, and I'm sure if you're a Christian and you've tried to witness, they've said it to you as well. "Well, you know, I would become a Christian if it wasn't for the hypocrites in the church." And oh, isn't it so easy to point the finger at the inconsistencies of professing Christians? And you know, I'm not under any illusion. I don't live the Christian life with rose-tinted glasses on. I know, as the unconverted look at the visible church of Jesus Christ, that there are many, many people that would say they're saved and say they know the Lord and say they've been born again and say that they're Christians, and I know that their lives don't match up to it. Jesus Christ says that the wheat and the tares, they grow up together. They even look the same, but they've got different natures entirely. And the sheep and the goats, they'll grow up together and live together and mingle amongst one another. And in Israel, the sheep and the goat, they look very, very alike. It's very hard to tell the difference. In fact, if I was in Israel and a sheep and a goat was brought before me, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference. They're not like the sheep and the goats that we have. But the Bible tells us that the Lord knoweth them that are his. And not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father that is in heaven. Scripture makes it clear that there are hypocrites in the church. But the reality is, every one of us shall give an account of himself. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, "Well, you know, there's people that have put a stumbling block before me." And that's what Paul's warning against here in the book of Romans, putting something that's going to cause somebody to stumble on their way to finding Christ. But the reality is, you'll give an account of yourself. And that hypocrite that you can point the finger at so easily, well, he or she, they'll just give an account of themselves. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God, an account of the lives that they have lived. They'll give an account of all the opportunities in the gospel that they've been given. They'll give an account of every sermon that they've ever heard and the light that God in his wisdom and God in his grace has given to every individual. And isn't it so easy for us to play the blame game? This has been going on since the Garden of Eden itself. Do you remember whenever Adam sinned? And the Lord came to Adam and says, "Well, Adam, why did you disobey me? And why did you eat the forbidden fruit?" And Adam just turned around and says, "Lord, the woman whom thou gavest me. Oh, it wasn't my fault. I would have been fine, but Lord, you gave me a woman and she led me astray." And really what Adam's doing is not just pointing the finger at Eve, but he's pointing the finger at God. Saying, "Lord, in a sense, you have to take response for this as well, because I was getting on fine until you gave me this woman." And then the Lord spoke to Eve and asked for her response. And she says, "Well, Lord, it wasn't me, it was the serpent. Something that you placed in the garden, something that you created, and the serpent came along, and the serpent beguiled me, and so it wasn't my fault, Lord, it was the serpent's fault." And don't we do that so often? Things that we have done ourselves because of our sinful nature and because of our sinful ways, so easy to point the finger at others, isn't it? Whether it's the economic situation, or whether it's the environment, or whether it's the education that we received, or maybe we felt we didn't get enough toys at Christmas, or our parents didn't love us enough, or we didn't have enough friends, or we didn't get enough opportunities, or, well, the church just wasn't warm enough, or it was too warm, or it was too cold, or he didn't like the way the preacher preached, or he was too long, or he was too short, he was too simple, he was too complicated, and the Christians that I knew, they weren't all that friendly. And, well, you know what, you know why, you know, preacher, I didn't become a Christian because of this, that, and the other. What's that going to sound like in the day of judgment? Every one of us shall give an account of himself toward God. Remember Pilate, whenever he sent Christ to the cross? He took a basin and he washed his hands and says, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. But the reality is that Pilate wasn't innocent. Pilate will still give an account of himself toward God. The Christian will give an account. Paul, in a sense, is writing to God's people. And believers will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Unbelievers will stand at the great white throne. And the Christian evidently will give an account, because Paul includes himself. Every one of us shall give an account. Christian, do you know that someday you're going to give an account of your life of service for the Lord? What you've done with your time? How much time you've kept for yourself and how much time you've given to the Lord? How you've used your tithe, whether you've withheld the tithe or given God the tithe, and what we've spent our money on that the Lord has given us? What we've done with our talents and our abilities that God has given. The gifts that God has given us, have we used them on ourselves exclusively, or have we used them for God's glory? What we've done with our very tongues, how we've spoken about others, how we've spoken about the Lord, how we've spoken about ourselves. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, 36, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And even what we've done with our thinking. What has our motive been in being a servant of the Lord? Have we served the Lord well? The Christian will receive many rewards, but many Christians will lose many rewards as well. Whenever Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he says, no other foundation can any man lay but that that is laid, and that's Christ Jesus. He is the one foundation, the bedrock of salvation, but we build upon that foundation. He says, if any man shall build with gold or silver or precious stones, well, his structure and the life that he has led, that will abide the fire and he'll receive a reward. But if any man build with wood, hay, or stubble, those things will be burned up. And that person that has lived a life of wastefulness, though they're saved and though they've been brought into that bedrock foundation of Jesus Christ because they haven't served the Lord well. It says, every man's work shall be tried, and if any man's work shall be burned, he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, getting into heaven by the skin of their teeth. I sometimes wonder whenever it says in Revelation 21 verse 4 that God shall wipe away all tears from off their eyes. Will a lot of those tears be tears of regret? And as the hymn writer says, by and by when I look in his face, I'll wish that I had given him more. And so the Christian will give an account, but also the unconverted will give an account. Revelation 20 verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. The books in which an eternal, almighty, all-knowing, omnipresent God has got the names of every person that has lived and every person that has died. And every day that they have lived recorded like a great big diary in God's book. There used to be that program on television where, I don't know what the host was called, but he used to come in with a big red book and he would get some celebrity and he would hand him the book, and in the front of the book it said, this is your life. And all the key events in that person's life recorded. Well, in the day of judgment, whenever an unconverted person stands before the throne of God, it's like God opens a big book, and on the front of that book it says, this is your life. And he begins in the day of your birth. And he just begins to read day after day after day, every word, every thought, every deed, every day that's been lived, every opportunity that's been given, all read out again and again and again. Even the very motive of performing even your good works, that'll be read out too. And the books will be opened. And the Bible says the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life, they are cast into the lake of fire. How would you like that? If this white wall behind me was to record even our last year on God's earth, Would we hang our heads? Would we want to run out of the building? Would we blush? Would we be embarrassed? Romans chapter 2, verse number 16 says, God shall even judge the secrets of men. Nobody likes to be found out, isn't that true? Whenever we do something wrong, we never like to be found out. I think this whole last year with what has gone on in Parliament and Westminster and many people embarrassed about their dishonesty and claiming expenses that they really shouldn't have claimed, and nobody likes to be found out. And people can get embarrassed about it, but what about being found out at the judgment seat of Christ? What about being found out at the great white throne of God's judgment? Could you honestly stand before God tonight with confidence and with a clear conscience that you've lived every moment of every hour, of every day exclusively for the glory of the Creator of all things, the Lord Jesus Christ? The reality is that none of us could do that. And yet that's the very reason that God has placed us upon this earth. Now this judgment, this account, this day of reckoning is not for God to determine where any person will be in eternity. Scripture says, he that believeth not is condemned already. But those people who do believe, they receive eternal life. This day of accountability and this day of reckoning is for God to mete out the measure of reward or punishment that is due to every single one of us. And the ultimate test will be this. What have we done with Jesus Christ? God sent His Son into this world. And He died upon a cross. And He shed His precious blood. And He made it abundantly clear that He was the only Savior of men. And God declared to us again and again and again that He's long-suffering, that He's gracious, that He's slow to anger, that He's plenteous in mercy, that He will save, that He will forgive, that He will redeem, that He will satisfy, that He will keep for all time and for all eternity. And He says, all day long I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient and to a gainsaying people. And the test will be, what have we done with God's Son, Jesus Christ? We will all go past the judgment seat single file, because the great day of reckoning, while it is universal, while it is unavoidable, it is also unique. But you'll notice lastly that the great day of reckoning is ultimate. So then every single one of us shall give an account of himself to God. The highest tribunal in the universe. We often talk about the Supreme Court, whether that's in Belfast or London or any other major city, but men forget that there's only one Supreme Court. And that's the court of God's judgment. There's only one Supreme Court. Romans chapter 13, verse number 1 says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Every ruler, every king, every queen, every president, every prime minister, every government ordained and put in place by God, who is infinitely and eternally and unchangeably higher than every power that's on this earth. The Bible says that the Lord sits upon the circle of the earth. He inhabits eternity. His name is holy. And that the inhabitants of this earth are like grasshoppers in His sight. Who will men be judged by? Judged by pastors, preachers? No. The Bible says it will all be judged by God. Every single one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Genesis 18:25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Psalm 58, verse 11, he is a God that judgeth the whole earth. Ecclesiastes 3:17, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. Hebrews chapter 12:23, God is the judge of all. And so the Bible makes it clear that we'll all give an account of ourselves to God, and that God is the judge. But the Bible also talks in verse number 10 about the judgment seat of Christ. It tells us in John 5:22, the Father hath committed all judgment to the Son. Acts chapter 10:42, he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and of the dead. Romans 2:16, God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says that God is the judge, and the Bible also says that Jesus Christ is the judge, and that just tells us that Jesus Christ is God. Whenever I come to Christ, I'm not coming to a mere man, I'm coming to deity. I'm coming to God Himself. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but He's also God the Son. And He became the Son of Man, and He resides now in heaven at the right hand of God as the God-man Christ Jesus. And if you read in Revelation chapter 1, you get a wonderful picture of how perfect and how pure and how powerful the Son of God really is. As He stands in eternity, glorious in His apparel, His tongue like a sharp two-edged sword, His hair white and pure, His eyes like flames of fire, and before His throne are gathered all nations to be judged of the eternal Son of God. Jesus Christ is the judge. That's the one by whom the world will be judged. But by what will the world be judged? God's law. Very simple. Jesus Christ said that those people who reject His words will be rejected by Him. And He says, I will raise up that word in the last day. And He says, it will become your judge. John 12:48, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. What have you done with the word, the law, the precepts, the commandments, the truth, the way of life, the promises, the precepts that God has given? What have we done with the word of God? In this book is the way of life. And in this book is the way of death. This Bible tells us how a sinner can be made right with God. This Bible tells us how a sinner can enjoy God. This Bible tells us how a servant of the Lord can be better equipped and better fitted to serve God. It gives us promises to help us through the difficult times. It gives us counsel to guide us through the barren times. This Bible that God has given us is the most precious book that the world has ever known. And tonight, what are we doing with it? Judged by who? Judged by God. Judged by what? Judged by God's Word. Judged when? Judged at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 4 verse 1 says, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing. Jesus Christ came the first time. The prophets, hundreds, even thousands of years, told us that He was coming before He ever came. And the same Bible that tells us that Christ was coming the first time tells us that He's coming again. And He's coming to judge the world in righteousness at His appearing. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and they'll divide the sheep and the goats. Judged by who? Judged by Christ. Judged by what? Judged by His word. Judged when? Judged at His return. But judged where? Before His throne. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I saw the dead, small and great, were worthy, gathered together at the great white throne of God's judgment. The throne is great, indicating its power. The throne is white, indicating its purity. And the Bible describes it as being a judgment seat, or as being a throne, indicating the judgments and sentences are passed from that throne. And dear friends, the judgment will be fair. Genesis says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And He will. Revelation talks about the great white throne. Every single one of us will get exactly what we deserve. One preacher by the name of T.V. Moore said, the power of man can never reverse the sentence of God. The power of man can never reverse the sentence of God. Dear friends, the great day of reckoning is coming. Every single one of us shall appear before the judgment seat of God. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let me ask you in closing, are you ready to give that account? If the death angel was to come tonight and God was to say, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, could you happily step out of time and step into eternity with assurance and with confidence that your soul is saved, that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that His precious royal blood has cleansed and atoned and washed away all your sins? Because you see, whenever we think tonight about the cross, and whenever we think of how the Son of God died there in my room and in my stead, and He died there for sinners, and we think of what Paul said in Romans 8 verse 1, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. No condemnation. Now I dread. Jesus and all in Him is mine, alive in Him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Are you clothed in His righteousness? Or will you stand before the judgment seat of God in the nakedness of your sin? Many of you will have heard that story that was told of one of the greatest of all American presidents, Abraham Lincoln. Whenever Abraham Lincoln was a relatively young man, he was passing a river and he saw a young man drowning in the river. And he jumped in and somehow he rescued that young man. And the young man was so grateful that this other young man by the name of Abraham Lincoln had saved his life from drowning. Many years later, before Lincoln sat as the President of the United States of America, he became a very successful judge in a particular state. One day, a jury was brought in, and the judge and the court was set up, and the judge was brought in. A young man was brought in for a terrible crime. And as his crimes were read out and the evidence was brought against him, the jury was agreed that the young man was guilty. And as the young man lifted up his head up to the judgment bar at the front of the court, who did he see but Abraham Lincoln? And he recognized him that day, and he pled for mercy. And Abraham Lincoln, all that he could say was this: listen, you've been brought in, the evidence has been brought against you, and I need to be faithful to the law. And the young man cried out, he says, but sir, you saved my life all those years ago, can you not intervene just now? And Abraham Lincoln says, it was true that day I was your Savior, but tonight I stand as your judge, and you're guilty. I wonder, will the same thing be said of you as you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? And you say, but listen, you died on the cross for sinners. I grew up in a Christian home. I was sent along to church. I knew the gospel. And, you know, I would have got right with you someday. Can you not save me now? No, I was your Savior. And I could have been your Savior in time, but you never repented. You never got right with me, and the books have been opened. The law of God has been revealed, and you're guilty, and now I stand as your judge. And Scripture says, death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Dear friends, the Scripture says, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. The great day of reckoning is coming. I wonder, are you ready? Are you confident? Do you know Christ as Savior? Or will you stand before Him as your judge in the nakedness of your sin and shame? May God speak to you tonight. And may this last Lord's Day of 2009 be the night that you get right with God and get the account settled. As we have said, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. You can say that if you come as a sinner to Him. Let's pray together. O God, our Father, we ask just now that Thou wilt speak in the dying moments of this meeting. We pray, O God, that there will be those here that will hear the call of God, that will experience that effectual call within their very hearts and lives. Lord God, we pray that everyone that has attended this meeting tonight will be ready and will be able to stand with confidence, not in themselves, but in Christ, and be able to say, like the old hymn writer said so many years ago, I stand upon His merit. I know no safer stand, not even where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. O God, we pray that the Spirit of God will do his work and bring many to Christ this night. Lord, answer prayer, we ask it in the Saviour's name and for God's eternal glory.